The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Goldie's Closet episode. Can you believe it? I say this every time. Episode 52. We are starting off the halfway mile mark with Alan Funk. I mean, 51. Vince Russo, I don't know how much of a mile mark that is. And this is the 52nd. I'm so excited. Everybody, put your hands together for this most beautiful, beautiful woman on the outside, but also on the inside. It's Francine, Queen Extreme. Everybody say hi. We do the clapping.
Yay! What a nice intro.
Was it? Except for Vince. Nice. Vince made fun of me yesterday, and I think he was in a bad mood. So
I don't know.
And Vince doesn't understand what I wanted to call out to you is because you do look so beautiful. Like, guys, because there's a lot of guys on this network, you know, they're listening. Like, you guys just roll out of bed and, like, throw some water in your face and jump out of the shower, if we're even that lucky. It takes women, especially, I'm over 30 now, and it just takes a while to get ready and not have, like, this pillow face, and I'm researching pillows to buy so I don't wake up with these Cabbage Patch Kid cheeks, and my boobs have lines in them now, and I don't want to look like that, and guys have no idea. And one of the questions I was going to ask you, Francine, and this is, you know, I edit all of this, so if it's not something that you want to answer, but you know, yesterday was ball sack Monday for me. I woke up to 6 ball sacks in my inboxes from Instagram, and I, you know, I did a big rant online, and I was just like, bros, I don't want to see it. I can't unsee it, and it's like, it's a lot of men from the Middle East.
Yeah,
I mean, takes all kinds and all sizes, small at that. And I just don't think, like, the banana hammock, a lot of them are wearing, like, those banana hammocks. And then there's just, like, pubes cascading down on the side. And they just send you that.
Wow.
I know.
You're a very lucky girl because I never get things like that ever. So
What do you get? What is the crazy?
They like you. They really like you. Well, I don't have open DMs on any of my platforms, so
I don't. Lucky girl.
I don't have any. If I don't know, like, the person, or if they're not, like, in the business per se, I don't follow fans back. It's just because of this reason. You get all kinds of crazy, wacky stuff. So no, I've never gotten, like, a dick pic. I've never gotten a ball.
Are you kidding?
I'm not special. I'm not that special.
No, you really are. I have a cock quilt that my very Christian friend was very out of the box for her. But, like, years ago when I was really into wrestling, and I mean, we still tour, but I was, you know, younger than 20s. I would just get so many dick pics that she said, send them to me. And I'm like, why? You know, you're married and, like, a woman of the Lord. And so for a present, she printed them all out on fabric and made a quilt for me.
That is beautiful.
What
a token of love.
I was honored. A lot of work went into that. And it hung in one of the studios for years, as it was a wonderful conversation piece. But it's just, I guess now, like, it's past the point of funny, where I just wonder, like, does that work for some women? Like, it's not like it's very, like, I don't play for the other team. I love all my lesbian friends. I love the supporters in the LGBTQ community. And I can appreciate another woman's body and say, like, well, hot damn, she looks really good. But I'm not, like, fantasizing about,
right,
like, touching her boobs or
no,
doing all that. But I can say, like, well, that's, you know, a little tingly, but not in a, like, sexual way, more of appreciative. But I mean, people's units and everything like that, good for them. And I know they're real proud of what they've got. But I mean, it's just not the most attractive looking thing ever. You know, I mean, I get it, but, like, if somebody sent me their boobs, I would be like, oh, okay, that looks good. but not the ball sack. So anyway,
It's not the most attractive body part. Like, I'd rather see a guy's eyes or his smile. I'm not really.
I love to see the smile. Is that, what's your favorite feature on a man?
I think I like the eyes. I love expression in the face, and the eyes tell a lot of a story about who a person is. And I just like to gaze at people's eyes. And I also like their mouths, shape of their mouth is intriguing to me. The lips.
I have so much Botox now that I guess
I've never got that.
I must concentrate on my eyes. I just don't need it. Look at you.
I just turned 48 last week.
Shut up.
Yeah, I did.
I don't talk about my age.
I do. I feel like I'm 100, but I'm 48 years old.
You look fucking hot.
You look beautiful. I have not seen you since, I think, 2002 is the only time we met briefly a couple times, but I never really got to know you.
I gotta ask you, this is one of my things that I wrote down. I don't know if it was you. It might have been. If it is, it might have been
scared.
All I remember was, I think it was Huntsville. It was the municipal. It was a big locker room, right? Mm-hmm. I was intimidated because I'm new to the business and there was a lot of women back there. Okay, so first off, were you at that show? I think you were.
My memory is so bad. Okay. Like, because I've had like concussions and then I've had two children, and pregnancy jars your memory. Yes, it does.
Seriously?
Moms out there, if you listen, you will agree with me. They say you lose memory when you have babies. And I've had two big babies, and plus I fell on my head a number of times. So
we're going to talk about that. We are going to talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about it all. But I know I did the first ever TNA when you had to pay like the $10 for it. Do you remember that?
And then you were there. That was the first one. It was in Huntsville, Alabama.
I was at the first, and we recorded two shows that evening because I did the 10 woman battle royal where there was only nine of us.
Were there only nine?
Oh, yeah, there was supposed to be 10 of us and there was only nine. And then they ran to like the local Walmart and bought us all matching robes.
Stop it.
Pajamas. It was pajamas.
I remember.
Matching pajamas. Yes. We all came out in these beautiful, homey Little House on the Prairie pajamas, and underneath we just looked like a bunch of whores with our little,
of course,
bikinis.
And I'm sure Vince there at that time.
I met Vince after that because when I had worked for TNA, I signed a four show deal, and I only did four shots for them, and then I was told, we really don't have anything to do. You know, we don't have anything for you. There's nothing to do at this point. And I was
we'll bring in porn stars for that. No, I'm just kidding. I was always super nice to her. And that's why I'm trying to remember if it was you or Jasmine St. Clair that came up to me, had my nice little outfit on. I remember I didn't know what to wear, brand new to this. And somebody came up to me and said, hey, are your tits fake or real?
That was not me. That is not how I speak to people.
I was like, I didn't know what to say. So I literally stumbled and I said, well, one of them is.
Oh, did you have a rupture?
I didn't know what to say. So I just said one was real. I mean, they're both fake, but I couldn't just let this girl know that both of my boobs were fake because she seemed to have a problem with that. So I figured I'd throw it out there that one of them were and make her question. And she did. She just kind of looked at me like, and I walked away and I'm like, Goldie, why did you say that? You know that you have two implants, but I was too chicken to. I was like, why would somebody come up and ask me that? You know?
Yeah, no, that was not me, honey. I don't speak to people that way.
Well, I'm having memories of the pajamas.
Oh yeah, those god awful pajamas that I sold on eBay right after.
You and that's one thing. Right up. you have got your business down. I was talking with Grandpa Vince last night. Every once in a while, we jump on a podcast together because we did have Bucket Full of Chicken Necks. And people do ask, like, we miss you and Vince and the dynamic. I think I caught him, like, he was pooped yesterday, but he gave a great interview. And then he was making fun of me because I'm falling down rabbit holes from 20 years ago, 10 years ago. I wasn't in the wrestling business, and I have all these questions for him. And he's just like, oh, that's old news. Or that's really, where were you 20 years ago? Well, I wasn't in the business, and I've got a whole stream of people that follow me that don't know stuff. So it's kind of like, It's all new to us.
Right. But,
what was I gonna ask you though about, I don't know your story and I don't know how you got into it, but he was saying Francine is coming on the brand. She's got her own Patreon. Let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about what your show's gonna be for people on the Realm Network, for people on Vince Russo's brand. Like, what are you gonna be bringing to the table? Because I gotta tell you, this is so cool. Everybody listen to this. When I was sitting out to dinner, I was at a very expensive dinner at Jeff Ruby's. So $1,400. Somebody invited me. I'm like, I'm doing the keto thing. And I'm like, I'm going to go because I can get a good steak. And I normally wouldn't eat that. But I'm like, I'm going to just go. I'm being invited. And I'm sitting there. And all of a sudden, across the feed comes Francine coming to the room. And it was this just tits to the ceiling. And you looked super hot. And I was like,
I don't have them anymore. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You still.
I don't have them anymore. They both ruptured. They did.
Oh, wait, bookmark. All these men were like, "Oh, I'm definitely signing up now," and I was just like, toe kicking in the sand. I was like, "Nobody wants to sign up if I'm on it." And like, I want people to understand, like, this is how my brain works as a woman. I looked at you and I was like, God, I wish I looked like that. Number one.
Oh, please. Number gorgeous. Shut up.
This is my thought process. I'm sharing it with people. Maybe they can learn something from this. How beautiful. Look how excited everybody is. I wish that people would get excited about my show like that. And then Francine, something in me, and it always has since I was a little girl, it snaps and the pity party ends. And then I think, oh, like Tigger, I wonder what we could do to cross promote. I wonder what we could do to work together. And I reach out to Francine, and she's so kind, so badass. Yes, she's still hot, ruptured tits or not, totally gorgeous, and a great attitude. And that's what Vince was saying. Francine has her business down. Let's talk about what you're going to be bringing to the table at the Realm Network on Vince's show. I'm so excited for this.
I'm excited too. And I was shocked because I've only been doing this maybe 6 months.
Oh, that's a long time, though.
Well, maybe so. I never wanted to have a podcast. I was dead set against it. I honestly didn't even want to come back to wrestling. I kind of got...
Why would you be dead set against it? You have so much to offer. You're so bright in the business.
Well, because I'm so associated with wrestling. Like, that's how people know who I am, right?
Okay.
So there's a million podcasts out there, and I said... I don't want to do another podcast where it's, hey, let's talk about Raw and SmackDown. Let's talk about AEW. Let's talk about results. That's been done to death. So I was just like, I don't want a wrestling podcast. So when my co-host Chad came to me, he was like, there's so many different angles with you. Like, you're a mom.
Totally.
Yeah. You're a mom. You love Disney. You still have the wrestling gimmick going because I'm on the road sometimes, not all the time. But he goes, why don't we do a lifestyle podcast? And you could talk about everything and anything you want to talk about. We don't even need a format. And I said, well, if I could do something like that, I would love to do it. But I just don't want it to be wrestling based. Because that way I can get the Disney marks to come in. I could get maybe moms to come in. I could get girls to come in if I talk about whatever, makeup or, videos on YouTube that I want, just different things besides wrestling. And that's what I wanted to do. So I just jam everything into 45 minutes to an hour. And we just talk about whatever.
And that's exactly what I do. Like I do have a ton of questions for you, but I honestly just enjoy winging it and seeing where the conversation organically leads. I think I try to keep mine positive, motivating, and towards the light. And it sounds like that's exactly what you're doing. You have an advantage over me and that, well, three, four, you have two kids, right?
I have two kids.
Two kids and two ruptured boobs. So that's, you know, what's a ruptured boob?
I don't know about that. I got implants, I think in 1997.
Okay. Right?
And my boobs were on point. They were really nice.
I was watching some stuff. We're going to talk about that. And I didn't know you worked with Stevie Richards.
Oh my God. Yes. He was one of the first guys I ever worked with. Well, yeah.
And I thought, look at those boobs. That's.
Well, I didn't. Yeah. 97 is when I got, I didn't have them when I worked with Stevie and them, but.
Boobs look great then too.
They were, well, you know what it was? I had a C cup. And I had a sunken chest, which I don't know if that's normal. But my breast, I tell this story, my breasts were low on my chest. So I wanted them higher.
Of course, who wouldn't?
And I went to the doctor and he was like, well, I can move them up, but I wouldn't give you an implant. And I was like, well, if I'm going to go under the knife,
yeah,
maybe a little bigger, like give me height or something. So he put the smallest implant in. It was like a 225 cc. It was the smallest saline. Put it under the muscle so that way they
were touching the chin. I have this saline under the muscle too.
Yeah, so that's what I did and had them. I mean, they looked great. I had my kids. I breastfed, so they kind of start to go south a little when you breastfeed. But I started to get mammograms when I turned 40.
Sure.
And they always say to you, you know, do you have implants? And you have to check the box. So every time I got my boobs checked, they would be like, we can't see an implant. And I was well, they're in there unless they're ruptured. So I went and I got them, you know, I got them checked. I had a CAT scan done and they said, they're both flat. The bags are completely flat.
Because of wrestling, this happened?
I don't know. I didn't even know they ruptured. Like, they were just gone. So, like, now I'm still a D cup because I've gained weight, obviously. I'm not, like, when I was in wrestling, I was 117 pounds. Well, I'm not anymore, but I've gained in my chest. So I'm still, like, a D cup, and they're so freaking heavy. But they're not, like, up to here anymore. You know what I mean?
You have two bags that are just...
I have the bags, and they said as long as it was saline, you could leave the bags in. They won't bother you. You could go in and you could get them removed, but it's cosmetic surgery. It would cost me like $3,000-$4,000 to get them removed, and I'm just like, I don't want to get them done again because I'm 48. I mean, what's the point? I just wear a good pressure bra. So
once you go in there and mess again, it took me 10 years to get any feeling back in my breasts.
Uh-huh.
And right. I wouldn't, if you don't have to, and it's not a danger, and the plastic obviously is safe, I would leave it because you risk, like, nerve damage again. People don't realize all of that.
I have had three surgeries over the last 3 years on my abdominal region because when I had the babies, you know, it stretches out your abs. And it stretched it out to a point where I had a hernia peeking through.
Oh, God.
And so I went in three times and I just had it in November. This was the third surgery. So they told me it takes a year to recover from this because I've had two prior and now this third one. So like I'm like dying because any movement to my core, anytime I even like vacuuming or sneezing or coughing, it feels like somebody's ripping me.
How long before this heals? That's horrible.
They said it could take up to a year, but they had to put mesh this time. So I have a huge piece of mesh over my abdominal region because the first two times the hernia was not staying put and it just kept popping through. So I looked like I was pregnant. I had this bulge and I'm not like a heavy person per se,
no,
but I've had this bulge and I'm just like, God, I'm done my babies. Like, I don't want to look pregnant anymore. And when you get like a tummy tuck, it's supposed to keep everything in. Well, they did a tummy tuck because the hernia was peeking through the abs and they were just trying to push everything down for me. It won't stay down. So I'm on the third surgery. Wow. I'm hoping it works. I mean, Spanx can only do so much.
And I'm
sick of wearing Spanx. Like, I don't want to wear Spanx anymore. You know,
I'm looking behind you, though. I mean, whether you've got Spanx or not, and I'm sorry, I'm sorry that you've got to heal up like that. No one deserves all of that. That's just sucks.
Yeah.
I know you're going to get better, and I know you're going to get back to not hurting, and I'm just looking forward to that for you. But I mean, I'm really looking at, like, I mean, you still are, and when those photos were taken, like, that's got to, were you as, like, I look at that and I'm like, that's like the perfect woman. That's like, because you're 5'7", right? I read that.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm like short, like 5'4", can body, like no torso. It's like a little can, like a can good can.
Shut it.
And these little legs. It's okay. I have a good heart and I can sing, kind of. But I'm looking at, like, especially the one in the lower corner, like, guys, you know Francine. I mean, this is the ultimate woman. Beautiful. So good.
Oh.
Were you happy back in those days, in your, like, complete heyday? I look back in my heyday and I was miserable and I was in a dark place. Vince and I were talking about this. One of the questions that people had for you, and it's a good question because we all learn from it. And Vince was like, oh, you got to be careful and easy on, take it easy on yourself. And you know what, you made mistakes, but you're the person that you are now. And I'm like,
right.
I still, girl, I wish I could just go back and do it over. I screwed up so many things. I wish that I knew now about, like, branding and, like,
right.
You know what I mean? My head was so far up my ass. I was so worried about the wrestler I was dating and whose hotel room was he in and just dumb shit. And it's like, man, I wish I could have just gone back and focused on me helping other people also, but, like, just have it together. What was it like when you were just, like, on TV and rolling? Were you happy, or what was really going on in your life then?
So, you know, I was happy performing, obviously.
Yes.
I loved performing. It was like I lived, breathed, ate, slept wrestling back then. Like, I
really
loved it. Loved it, yes. Like, I was down to do, like, I wanted to take everybody's finishers. Like, I wanted to be that girl.
I couldn't even watch some of the stuff last night. I'm just like... Did you have any idea, like, this could, like, give you brain damage or...
Oh, my mom used to tell me. Yeah, my mom used to say, you know, when you're 40, you're going to feel it. And she was right. She was 100% right. But back then, you know, we thought we were rock stars, you know?
Yes.
We thought we were invincible and above the law and nothing's going to hurt. And I'm in my mid-20s and I'm, you know, on the road and I'm doing all this crazy stuff and I'm traveling and I have... No ties. I wasn't married. I just came and went as I pleased. You know, work-wise was great. Then we didn't have social media. I'm sure it would have been 100 times worse if we had social media back then. But I was always very skinny, right? Very skinny. And I could never gain weight. And I
play on my violin because I always have had that problem.
This is where it affected me. So, you know, the sheets were not kind to me at all. And, like, especially like Meltzer and a couple others.
Really?
And they, Meltzer used to always be like, she's bulimic, she's anorexic, she's this, she's that. Anything that I ever did, he shit on every single time. And, like, you know, I would get fan mail, like, we hope you're going to be better and you can overcome this. And I'm like, I've never been anorexic or bulimic in my life. I could not gain weight. So I was on Weight Gainer. I had the worst diet in the world. I would eat cheeseburgers and Chick-fil-A and McDonald's. Like, I ate everything in order to try and gain weight. And then I remember even in one of the promos, I think it was like... Sinister Minister, they were talking about me and he's like, eat a hamburger or something like that. And it crushed me. And I begged Paul, please don't put that. Yeah. I said, please don't put that on there. It just makes me sad. See, now
I'm, oh my God. I wish I would have been your buddy around then because I wasn't in the ring that bad, but I will fucking annihilate people. And that was one of the questions that I had for you. And I'm thank you for crying because
I always cry. I always cry
because people are freaking assholes. And
it hurt.
They need to be held accountable for it. And I was going to ask you, like, what's the meanest thing that somebody ever said to you? Because I can remember them, like, once it is said or it is read, it is burned into your mind. And people will say to you, oh, just let it roll off. I'm like, you know what, you asshole? You're not out in the public eye. You don't have people attacking you. And if they catch you on the wrong day, now, somebody got on to me one time and they, I was on Extreme Cheapskates a few years ago.
I heard about that. That's wonderful.
And it was, I had a great time. And you know what? Like, and this will make me cry because I dieted. I did the Master Cleanse. I got my hair done. I did all of this stuff because when men send this disgusting stuff to us, to me, to women, what they don't realize is, and this will make me cry, there is a part of us that will always want to be like our little princess to our dad. And when you start becoming a woman and you try so hard to come out of your ugly duckling period of your time, you know, where you're just like, I'm going to transition into being a woman, and you do all this stuff and you practice and you try and you experiment and you finally feel like I look good or whatever. And I thought I looked really good on Extreme Cheapskates, and I was fascinated by the lighting, and they came to the studio, Francine. They were here for a week, and you know, I had time to really, I'm a photographer also, I have a photography company, so I was really paying attention to the lighting and the backlighting and how they did everything, and I felt so good, and I kept seeing on the monitor like, oh, I look really good, and I was all excited, and I loved my body. And I swear to God, some mother trucker got on one of my videos on YouTube and he just said, wow, what a piece of old shit. She used to look so beautiful. It's like an old bag of shit. Why would she even want to come on TV when she looks that bad? And I just remember thinking to myself, like, and it deflated me, and now I'm cool. That was a few years ago, but like, I was my dad's princess at one time.
Right.
And I like to still think like I got it, or I look okay. And when somebody just flat out just says cruel things, and then I'm at the point in my life right now where I think, I feel sorry for you. I really do. I feel sorry for somebody that has that much hatred in their heart that they just can't find anything good to say. Yesterday was Ball Sack Monday. 6 ball sack photos and dick pics. And I just decided I'm going to go on with Vince in my bikini because he always makes a big deal about stuff, but he didn't yesterday. He must have been a little off or something. Maybe he was tired. He usually is like, oh, wow, the cleavage. This is good, you know, and we joke about it. And I don't wear my bikini on the show. It's my show. I can wear what I want, but I do it like to say, like, oh, I still got it and I'm feeling good. And then I went over to Facebook Live. Got 15 Facebooks, but there's one that's, you know, jumping. And I had my little bikini on and I said to myself, it's Ball Sack Monday. We're going to change it. We're going to take the power back. We're going to make it Cleavage Monday. And I just said, women, I want you to go into the bathroom, the restroom at work. I want you to go into your restroom at home, your bathroom when you get home from work, put on your swimsuit, your best bra, your best lingerie, and take a photo for me and post it. And oh my God, I teared up. We have a lot of women, you know, more mature who, they're widows and they just said, Goldie, I would never do this, but I wanted to play along. And what do you think? And it was like, Francine, all these men are on there, which I want to block because they make me want to vomit and eat it and vomit again. But I'm thinking, you know what? They're serving their purpose by drooling all over these women and making them feel good. I'll leave them on there. But man, I try to take that negativity and cruelty and flip it around because people can just be so, and there's got to be something mentally wrong with an adult to get, for Metzer to do that. Like, is ripping on somebody else or breaking them down, is that really going to help your career? Maybe?
No. And especially like when you do something like, you know, they say that I was the first woman to go through a table, right?
Yeah.
So I do that and like, it's big news and it's cool and I'm proud of it.
We are proud.
Right. And somebody like him shits on it. And it's like, really? Do you know, if you hate me that, I've never met the man.
Dave Meltzer?
Meltzer.
Meltzer?
Yeah. Whatever his name is. I've never met him in person. So no beef.
You should get him on your show. Do you think
I remember years ago crying. And Paul Heyman says to me, for every one person that talks negative about you, there's 100 people who want to sleep with you or who adore you or something to that effect. But we tend to be polarized by that one remark. Doesn't matter that 100 people like you. It's that one person who hates you. And I used to want everybody to love me. And now I realize not everybody's going to love me. And that's okay. That's okay.
It is okay. And isn't it nice to be more wise and realize that? When I have a very, very, very famous friend, and I try to help this friend. I'll keep it real generic. I try to help this friend. I try to promote this friend. They come from a very long lineage of fame. I know their life's been really messed up. It had to be growing up like that. And I try to be so cool. But like recently, they've been just picking on me and sending me screenshots of like me promoting my friendship with them. And then I'll add in a little something. They're like, don't say that. That's letting people know too much about this. Or can you take this down? Or I need you to edit this. And I'm like, okay, I'm not your personal secretary or jizz rag. And you're having me go back and edit shit from a year ago that you just are seeing now because somebody tagged you in it. Like, thanks for following the bouncing ball, but you're a little off. And then I look at what I go back and I edit it because I'm like, whatever. And that's I'm going to edit it now, but I'm not going to do anything more to promote you in the future because you've exhausted me. But when I go back and I edit it, Francine, I see like, and this is my dear friend, and I see all of this wonderful content that I've gone on and on writing about them. And the only thing, back to our point, the only thing that they can see is one little thing, polarized by that they didn't agree with it, or they just think it doesn't paint them in the right light, which it's fine. Nobody fucking cares anyway. You're so lucky if anybody even looks at anything with everything online that they even notice your shit anymore. Be glad, but you're young. And I look at all this laundry list of great stuff that I've said, and could they have said, oh, hey, I saw this that you said about me, or wow, thank you, that really warmed me. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, would you mind just, oh, of course, it's called sandwiching. It's what people do it in business and in leadership. A great compliment, something we need to work on and wrap it up with a great compliment. And then,
right.
Yeah, great, I'd love to fix that for you. But we do tend to concentrate on the negative. And that is something that's a conscious effort for me. And I want the brand people, if you're listening to this right now, I know that a lot of you suffer with some down in the dumps furry, and I know people get on some of our larger members. They pick on them, and we talk about going to the gym. You know who I'm talking about. We talk about eating right. We talk about positive lifestyles. So, you know, just take the comments that people are saying, throw them out the door. Easier said than done, but you do have to throw them out the door and focus on all of the love that is out there, because the social media, the news, the media in general, they concentrate so much on everything that's so dreary and dark and negative. But there are some beautiful things going on in the world that need to be acknowledged. And I just wish that we weren't so hungry for the dirt, that we weren't so hungry for the drama, because we are pretty much the problem. And I wish people would share more good content and not just like somebody falling down the stairs or getting their ass kicked or beaten, or, you know, and then you put up something about, hey, help this kid out with his, you know, cancer treatment or whatever, and it's got like one like on it or something like that.
Right. No, I get it. And going back to what I said before, I don't mind criticism, but there's a nice way.
Yes.
There's a nice way to criticize a person.
Absolutely.
Now, most of these sheet writers have never even taken a bump. So that's kind of what pisses me off too.
Talk about that. So many people writing in here. Well, we do have, does she think Tony Schiavone is a swell gentleman?
I love Tony. I love you, Tony Schiavone. He is swell. Yes, he's very swell.
Josh Hinkle, who is a brand member, Josh, I have to tell you, when you were like so excited about re-signing up for the brand because Francine was on.
Oh, thanks, Josh.
But it's okay, Josh. I'll let it go. Look, we have her on the show right up. Josh is really great. He's a loyal supporter. He's a lovely guy. I think he's lost 50 pounds now, Josh.
Congratulations.
Beat him up over that. He's doing really well. He says that you're the favorite member of Triple Threat.
Triple Threat.
I mean, that really was. And then we Vicki Lynch says if she could go back in time and witness any historical firsthand event, what would it be and why? That's an interesting question. I know what I want. What do you want? What's your historical event?
If I could go back in time. Wow.
Think on it. I'm going to tell mine fast.
Tell yours.
I'm going to tell mine fast. I would love to be a fly on the wall back in Jesus's time. I wish I could, like I just said to you, I wish I would have been your buddy around that time, or I would have just, I love defending people, and I wish I could go back and be like his buddy and tell people if they don't like what he's talking about, then just go about their business, or, you know, and I wish I could have been around at the crucifixion. I would have liked to have, I know that's not supposed to be changed in time, but I wish I could have been there to comfort him, whether or not you're a Christian or not, or believe in that. It is a story of a man who did go through some bad stuff. And I wish I could have been around to like offer him some support.
That's amazing.
But that's I really do believe that. Other historical events. What's one for you?
Let me ask you a question now. Yeah. Cause I grew up Catholic, right?
Me too.
Okay. We believe in heaven when you die, right?
Yes.
I always think like the way Jesus and everybody was portrayed back in the day, right? Yep. Very precise speaking. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't see the partying side of certain people. Like you don't really know exactly how they lived, right? Mm-hmm. It's like when you go to heaven, are they going to be like the way that you read in scripture? Like, is that how I have these weird thoughts like about heaven? Like, I'm always afraid, like, when I die, how am I going to get around? I'll be by myself.
No, you won't.
Will somebody be there to help me? Like, am I going to be in purgatory first and then you go to heaven? Like, I always think of these. Death scares the shit out of me. I am petrified of dying. Like, that's my biggest, one of my biggest fears. Like, my children being hurt is my, like, biggest fear. Like, I'll kill a motherfucker if they touch my kids. Excuse my language. I would kill.
Yeah.
But like for myself, like dying is my biggest fear or concern, right?
I don't think you should be afraid of that. I don't think people should be afraid
of that. Yeah, that's what I'm told, but it scares me.
I don't think you should. Because if you did grow up Catholic and you do have faith and you do believe in faith, like I said the other day on Edward Follower's show, he did a really good interview with me. He's new and he's up and coming. He's great. You should check him out. He's got a show in England, and he asked some really great questions, but we got on the whole faith thing. And if you really do have faith, and you really do, because it sounds like your mom was probably similar to mine in how she taught, faith is not something that you can just choose when you feel like it. Like if you really have faith, you have to believe that you're taken care of. And Francine, I tell you, I was never taught this. I wasn't exposed to it growing up, but the older that I get, and I, it's usually with animals. I swear to God. And I'm like, I swear to God, I've seen you somewhere before, or things seem way too familiar. Or I meet somebody that I'm like, it's getting too weird for me because it's happening over and over where I swear, do we come back as something else to get it right? Or I look at some of these animals that I meet on the road, people's animals. And I swear to God, you were talking about the eye connection. I swear to God, some of these freaking animals are human.
Know what that means? It means you're a Disney princess.
Oh God. Now
that's what that means. Because Disney princesses and animals are one. And if you communicate to these animals like that, you are a Disney princess.
What is the Disney thing? Wait, stop. What is the Disney
thing? It's an obsession. It's my obsession.
Are you obsessed with Kristen Bell?
I like Frozen. I like her in it. Not obsessed with her per se, but I love her. You love her?
I fell down the Veronica Mars rabbit
hole. I've never seen that.
I fell down the hole at Christmas. Oh. I went home for 2 weeks. I think I gained 17 pounds watching Veronica Mars every night, binge watching 3 to 4 episodes. And then I came home from Minnesota to Nashville, the heaviest I've ever been. I was the heaviest in my life I've ever been. And I finished my Veronica Mars. I stopped eating. I'm back to keto. Chris Henderson from Three Doors Down is helping me. I've lost 15 pounds since Christmas. Still not where I need to be. I got more to go.
You look beautiful, honey.
I appreciate that. But Veronica Mars, Kristen Bell, all these Disney princesses, like, you're just obsessed. Is it because you have kids, or are you just
well, weird? It's weird because I didn't go to Disney until I was an adult. Like, I was in my 20s. That's the first time I ever experienced Disney World. And I fell in love. I loved it. And then I went back a couple times after. I've been to Disneyland like 3 or 4 times. Loved it. Then when I got married and had my kids, I was like, you know what we should do? We should start a tradition, and every year we should go to Disney. So when my daughter was like 1 was the first time we went as a family. It was the 3 of us. And then a couple years later, then we kept going, and I had my son like 2 years after her. So his first time, he was 4 months old. Aww. And we just had this little baby just sleeping through everything. But we've been there 10 years now as a family. And we go once a year. We go for like 12 days. We absolutely love it. It is something that we just cherish because it's special to us. It's
in the same important way that you are talking about all of this, because you're like, I don't want to do a podcast about wrestling, but somewhere there's a podcast going on right now
where Disney.
Where somebody's interviewing a Disney princess that used to work there going, how bad was it when you, what was the meanest thing?
Tell me your secrets. Yes, I would love to. I would love to get former cast members.
You should.
I really need to. It's become like, not an upset. I wouldn't say an obsession because I'm not like that crazy Disney lady, but like, during the week and the weekends, like when we shut off iPads because, you know, iPad time is over, we'll go into our son room. It's like a family room. And we put YouTube on the TV and we pick Disney videos before bed. And the kids get to pick like 2 or 3 videos they watch. And we always, it's every single night in this house is Disney.
Do you think, because you said earlier on in the interview, you're like, I always wanted people to love me. I wanted people to like me. Do you think Disney fills some sort of void like that? Because it always turns out happy. It's always a good ending. I think that's healthy, Francine.
No, my children always love me.
Okay.
So my children, unconditional, whether I look like a piece of crap, whether I look like a Disney princess, whether I look like, they don't care. They just want to be with me, and it's unconditional love. And
I love it. But what is the Disney tie in there? Is it
just, we just love it. We just love it. I always say my next job, I want to be the evil queen, because I was a heel 90% of my career. And I love the villains. And I always say, I want to do cosplay. I want to be the evil queen, man. That's going to be me. And it's just an escape for us.
What you're saying. Yeah.
No, yeah. Like when we go there, I don't have to, you know, I'm a caregiver for my mom. She lives
you
with
said
us.
That.
Yeah, she's going to be 90, God bless her, this year. I've been taking care of her ever since I've been married, and I've almost been married. This will be 12 years that we're celebrating our anniversary. And my father and my sister, they both passed away like 4 days of each other. Thank you. This is almost 12 years ago. They both had cancer. They were both in hospice at the same exact time. So on his deathbed, I promised my dad, I'm going to take care of mom. And as soon as they died, she says, well, I want to try to do this by myself. I said, okay. And she lasted about 6 months. And she says, I can't walk around this house anymore. And I said, we're going to come get you. And she sold her house. She came here and she's been with us ever since. So she can't walk long distances. And so she can't do Disney. So like 1 year, my brother takes her, 1 year, my sister takes her, and she goes there for 2 weeks. So I don't worry about her. I don't worry about cooking. I don't worry about cleaning. I don't worry about school. I just go down there and we just do what we want. We eat what we want. We hang out as long as we want. There's no rules in Disney. Calories don't count in Disney.
No, it's great. It's a great escape for you. And I love
it. Yeah, it's a nice break.
I know there's a lot of people listening and watching that will enjoy that segment of your show. I know there's a lot of people listening and watching that do enjoy the cosplay and that escape. It's so cool.
There
are some other things that we can expect from your show, and talk to us about Patreon and what people can pledge and support there, and what do they get for for their patronage. I'm excited to hear about it.
Yeah, so we have a couple different levels. Nothing crazy. I think the lowest level is like a donation of $5 or whatever. But then
everybody's
like
got that. That's a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, you know. And then $10 starts like the video audio. $25 there's like a Discord. You get 8x10 sent to you. Yeah, so every Tuesday night, I go in Discord with our members and we chat. And I've gotten to know them really well because...
What's a Discord? What is this?
Discord. Yeah, I didn't know it either. Discord is like not so much a message board because it's in real time. But you just talk to the members that are on that tier level.
And is it through a Patreon?
It's called Discord.
It's not through Patreon?
Different app.
Mm-mm. Okay.
No, but they have to sign up through Patreon and then you can add them to this Discord page.
Okay. I get it.
Yes. And so I've gotten to know them personally because we discuss everything. It's not just wrestling. It's like home life and what they're doing at their jobs. And I just take the time to get to know these people.
And that's Tuesday nights for you.
Tuesday nights for me is very intimate. And it's so much easier than like when I used to do YouTube, because doing YouTube, you have a million comments going across the screen. And like some people would get mad if you don't answer their question right away, but you can't read every single comment that comes across. It's impossible. This is so much more personal and they have my attention and my time and I answer every single question and every single person.
Is it only text or is there video of you?
It's text.
Okay.
It's text. We're going to do a thing where we're going to try to, I don't know if it's on Twitch, but we're going to try to do like a members only chat where they can see us and we can do stuff that way. We're playing with a lot of different new things to add. But one of the things that I like to do is I record, I guess it's called vlogging. When I like do my shows, do my either wrestling shows or the conventions. I do behind the scene footage. I recorded my Disney trip. So that's going to go on Patreon. I take people on rides with me. We play games on there. We just do a bunch of different content. I always ask the members, what do you want to see? Leave me comments. We're open to almost anything.
You did a really good job. Right before we did this, I thought I better get on Twitter, and you reposted. You're just so on top of your business. Everything that you've described to me on Patreon sounds like a really great value and something I was thinking, I'd like to be a part of that. I'm like, no, Goldie, you let her do her thing. I was, me too. I'd like to see what's going on this message board. It sounds really cool. You did mention conventions right now, so... Yeah. Is that something you're going to start get back more into, or have you been doing it the whole time? Because I know people would love to see you, Francine.
Yeah, I have been. I got back into it a couple years ago. I got on Twitter 2 years ago. I'm so late to the party. I didn't have any social media whatsoever. And one of my best friends is Daphne from WCW. And she came up and spent the holidays with me that year. And she was like, you know, you should really, let's do WrestleCon. And it was in New Orleans. And I've never done a WrestleCon at that point. And I said, I don't know. And my husband was like, you know, the kids are old enough that I can take care of them. And you can
do your husband.
Yeah, he's so supportive with that. And he said, if you want to take some bookings, go ahead and take some bookings. So and she's like, but you need a Twitter account. She said, because you need to promote your stuff. So I was like, who's going to want to follow me? I've been under a rock. Like, I've been just a mom having kids, just staying home. Well, yeah. I mean, I got the Twitter and then everybody started. I'm almost at 30,000.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
which is great.
28,000 people following you. I guess people don't think you're under a rock, Francine.
I guess not. But, you know, when you're away for so long, you just don't know. Like, I wasn't sure. Like, does anybody remember? I don't know these things. So, I did that, and then I did WrestleCon, and it was such a great response. And I met some promoters, and they were like, do you want to be used? And I was like, yes, sir. So I've been out and about. And, I mean, the good thing for me is I don't depend on it for my livelihood. Like, sure. I can pick and choose. So I tend to just do the bigger conventions. And an indie show, if like Shane is on it, Shane Douglas, or one of my ECW guys, I'll go and manage, because why not? I mean, it's just fun, you know. I can't bump or anything just because of what I told you earlier with the surgery and stuff.
Sure.
Because my surgeon said at any moment that could tear. He said, so you don't want to do too much. So I try to like keep it low key. So, you know, I might cheat a little or do something at a show, but I really can't bump, which is unfortunate.
What's the worst bump that you ever took?
What did you
or that night just say like, holy shit, like, I've really hurt myself.
So I've told this a lot, and forgive me guys and girls if you've heard this.
I don't know it. Times.
You don't know it, so I'll tell you. So there have been a lot of bumps that left me saying, what the hell, right? One time I was working with Bam Bam Bigelow, and he says to me in the back, he says, you know, just come in the ring and smack me, and I'm going to do something to you. But I don't know what yet. I'll think of something.
Yeah.
So Bam Bam, it was always Bam Bam, myself, Chris Candido, and Shane Douglas. We were the triple threat. My ride or dies. We would travel together, you know, same hotels, up and down the road. I trusted these guys with my life. So when Bam Bam's a vet, he tells you, I'll do something. You're okay, whatever, you know. So I run in the ring and I smack him, and I have no idea what's happening, right? And I think I had just gotten my boobs done like maybe a month or two prior. So now I know I'm going to take a bump, but I don't want to land directly on my chest because they're going to bust open, right? Well, he picks me up and he press slams me, but he's got me like this. So I'm like vertical. I'm like 10 feet in the air, and he's walking around holding me. And I'm thinking to myself, is he just going to dump me? Like, what is happening? Well, he just decides to throw me to the side, right? So as I'm falling, you really don't have a lot of time, but as I'm falling, I'm saying to myself, oh my God, I'm going to try to back bump. I'm going to try to back bump. It didn't work out that way. I landed on my hip.
Oh.
And Paul never showed it because it was so grotesque. But I used to go to the studio because back then I wanted to learn production. So I would go to the studio and I would watch Paul do the show every week to try to get some knowledge. And then I would have to do promos with Joey Styles anyway because he used to come in before work. So I would be there. He showed me the footage. My hip popped out and went back in, right? He must have rewound that like, He must have rewound that 10 times. And I was just like, holy shit. That night, I got to the back and it hurt. I mean, it really hurt. And he's like, you got to get in the ambulance. And I'm like, I'm not getting in the ambulance. And he says, if you can walk up the steps, because I don't think you've ever been to the ECW arena, but in the back there was a wooden staircase that led to urinals for the guys on a second level, right? He says, if you can climb and go upstairs to the second level, you don't have to get into the ambulance. And I said, okay. Well, I got up and I almost collapsed because I couldn't put any pressure on my left side. So that I had to get in the ambulance. I go, and here my pelvis was fractured in two places. So I was put on Dilaudid and crutches for 7 weeks, and I never missed a week of work. I worked a pay-per-view, got in the ring, swung a crutch.
Well, took a bump.
Oh, yeah. I took a bump. Bam Bam swung a crutch at me. I had to duck the crutch, but I landed back on my hip. And I was like, what the frick am I doing?
What did he say to you?
Oh, he felt horrible. He felt horrible.
Good.
It was not intentional. There was never heat between Bam Bam and I. Well, I know for a fact.
I wasn't insinuating that.
No.
Like...
Yeah, it was one of those things where it was just like, you know, because I bump. That's what I used to do. I used to bump. So he just was like, I'll just toss her and she'll bump. But the problem was I didn't have enough time to twirl my body to take a flat back bump. So I landed on my side, and that's when I broke my hip. And to this day, I mean, I've been to specialists because it always aggravates me and I have a lot of pain. And they said, well, you're eventually going to need a hip replacement, but you're too young at this point. And I said, okay, well, I'll just wait. But I mean, it aches, you know, it's like, Yeah, it's just one of those things. You know, when you're going through those ropes, anything can happen. I knew that. So you can't get mad. You really can't get mad.
You can't get mad, but someday you're going to have that thing done.
Yeah, it sucks. I'm not going to lie. That's why I always say, well, I'm 48, but I feel like I'm 100 because I've had...
I don't think people realize that about the wrestling business. And like I had Alan Funk was on a couple weeks ago. And he was shooting all over somebody. And I said, bro, do you want me to edit out like who you're talking about? He's like, hell no. He's like, he was just, I won't say who it is. Because Vince was like, well, he's a good guy. And I'm like, all right, well, yeah, it's your opinion. But Alan didn't have that opinion because he said the guy was always really pilled up and he was always drinking. And he just is like,
the worst.
I don't want to go. He's like, I am not going to get in the ring with somebody that's completely inebriated. It's already, you're in really good hands with Bam Bam. You just said, I trust this guy and accidents happen. Well, are you going to add insult to injury with the, you're completely out of your mind and then hoping that things don't end up with your, I swear I was watching something with you last night. Somebody in the ring went and did a pile driver, not to you, to somebody else. And I mean, the camera was right there. And I mean, it looked like it was going to break his neck. And I mean, if you're pilled up or you're drunk, like,
oh, forget
that,
it. That forget
two it. Inches, that inch of where your head should be hitting the mat or the concrete is like,
yeah,
it could break your neck and your spinal cord be damaged forever. Like, it's terrifying. And you know, I got fired from wrestling because I was supposed to take a horrible bump. I went to Terry Taylor. I said, could I do something a little less aggressive? I'm new. It was always like, oh, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like the sheer fact that I'm ignorant and I don't know what to do or how to be limp or, you know, I could be paralyzed and I just don't think I really want that. You know, and I got fired for it, you know, and that wasn't cool. And in hindsight, I'm glad that I am out of wrestling because I probably would be dead. A couple questions for you before we wrap it up. I respect your time. Is there something like about wrestling that you are glad that you're not completely in it anymore because you have kids now? If you did have kids back then, would it have been different for you?
Oh, yeah, because I wouldn't have been on the road.
Okay, you wouldn't have been on the road, but what about the bump? Uh-uh. Having the kids that you have now, you said that they have this unconditional love for you. Would you have been putting your life in danger?
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't. No. My children are more important than anything in this world. So
I don't have any. So I like learning about that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah. No. Children have taken over my life. It's the best decision I've ever made.
I love to hear that.
It's funny because people in this business, you know, 9 times out of 10, you interview somebody. I've been wanting to be a wrestler since I was 4 years old. You know, blah, blah, blah. I never wanted to be in the wrestling business.
Why
ever.
Did you get into the wrestling business? How did that happen? I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah, sure. So I was working at a life insurance company in Center City.
Wow.
Yeah, Center City, Philadelphia. I was a data entry. And I remember this one day.
Total segue into wrestling, Francie.
Well, you know, this one day something happened and one of the agents blamed me for it. And it wasn't my fault. And I remember I started to cry. I had this little cubicle and I didn't even have a window to look out of. And I said to myself, is this what my life is going to be? I was 20 years old, you know, and I'm looking around and I said, there's got to be more to life than this, you know? So I remember I called my dad and he was just like, if you're not happy there, quit. You'll find, you're young, find something. He said, and we had a Shore House back then. And he said, just come down the shore for the summer. Think about what you want to do and take some time off. And I remember I went back home that night and Tuesday night was this crazy company called ECW. It was not Extreme yet. It was Eastern. And I remember turning it on. And back then I was WWF and Global were my two things that I used to watch. I didn't watch it as a kid. I got into it as a teenager, right? I see this program and I just start watching it. And I watched it for maybe a month. And there was a commercial and it said, do you want to be a referee, a manager, or a wrestler? Give us a call. Well, I didn't know anybody in the business, never really met anybody that I can call, you know, that call and ask them what this is about. So I cold call them and they tell me to come down to Center City, which I was familiar with.
Crazy.
Man named Todd Gordon was working at a pawn shop. He owned this pawn shop. He's like, you got to meet with Todd. So I said, okay. So now my dad takes me because I'm 20 and I don't know anything. He waits in the car because I said, I'm going to look like a baby if my dad walks me in. So he waited in the car. I have to be buzzed in to this place. So there's bars, you know, like a pawn shop. There's like millions of bars and these like bulletproof windows and stuff.
Comforting.
And I'm, where the hell am I, you know?
Comforting.
I get buzzed in and they say, oh, you go in the back room. Todd's waiting for you. So I go in the back and I open this door and there's this guy and he's got his like feet on the desk and his arms are crossed like this. There's like a couple papers and how you doing? And I'm like, how are you? And I sit down and the first thing he's looking at me, right? And he goes, you're a pretty girl. You're not going to have to bump. And I said, I didn't know what a bump was back then. I didn't know the lingo. You know, I wasn't a carny back then. I go, oh, okay. And he goes, all right. He goes, I think we could do something with you. So then Stevie Richards worked there at the time. And Larry Winters was supposed to be my trainer, but we couldn't get on the same page with the times. Mm-hmm. So JT Smith, who was so underrated, he trained me. And I started going down to the arena and I just started, you know, getting trained and learning the ropes. And when Paul came, this is when Eddie Gilbert had just left and Paul came, Paul Heyman, they told me to come to, I can't even remember, Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. They said, show up and wear like a dress, like you're a beauty queen. So I was like, okay. So I wear this, I think I went to Macy's or something and I bought this like dress off the rack. And I met Paul and he says to me, oh, you're going to take a choke slam. And I said, well, I don't really know what that is. And he goes, what, you don't want to do it? I said, no, I'll do it. And he goes, just go with it. And I said, okay. So they had me come out and I'm waving at everybody like I just won this big beauty pageant. I was the guest timekeeper. I sat at the table and then 911 was the gentleman. He's a 7-foot-tall beast. He just comes and he grabs me by the hair and he takes me in and he gives me the choke slam and it's just like white noise. You don't hear anything. And I'm laying there and they put me on a stretcher and they took me out the back door. They put me in a car and they took me right home.
Kayfabe.
Didn't even go to the locker room. Didn't know. I go home and I'm just like, oh, I wonder if that worked. Cause I'm green as grass. Like I don't know anything. And before that, down at the arena when I would train, like I had a tryout match and Todd Gordon came to watch. So I actually wrestled. Paul Heyman didn't like women's wrestling. He thought he could get more out of the girls as managers or valets. So he always told me, like, we're not going to market you as a woman wrestler. You're going to be this manager. And I was like, okay, whatever you want, I'll do. I want to learn. So I go home that night from the show and then I get a phone call to come back. So I said, well, I guess Paul liked what he saw. They just kept calling, come back, come back.
Did the show called Hurt? Remember?
The choke slam? That was my first bump, I think, like in front of a crowd. Any bump hurts. Like I back then I was 110 pounds. So I really didn't have a lot. I was all bones. So running the ropes, I used to run the ropes and I would have like purple bruises like on under my armpit towards my hip. Like I was a skinny little thing. Like I had no meat on my bones. You know what I mean? So back then everything hurt me. Yeah. Bumping wasn't fun, but it was essential for what I wanted to do to leave my mark on wrestling.
So, are you happy with what you've done? I'm happy for you.
I'm happy with, yeah, I think my career went really well. I never wanted to leave. Like everybody says, didn't you ever want to go to WrestleMania? I never wanted to leave. I was asked at one point to leave to go to WWF at the time. I was getting calls from this man named Ed Cohen. And he, like when he couldn't talk to me, he would talk to my mom and he would tell my mom, oh, she shouldn't work for Paul anymore because we'll pay her so much more.
Really?
They wanted me to do a gimmick with Bruce Pritchard as sister love to his brother love. So they pitched like a red face and they were using like models every week from like wherever Raw was going to be. That's where they would bring a girl in, but they wanted a fixture. They sure. wanted someone that they could use every single week. And from what I, this is from what I was told, I think Bruce has a different story, but I was getting phone calls that most of the staff wanted me to go in there. And they told me, don't tell Paul. So for a month, I kept my mouth shut. And then I said to myself, my loyalty is with Paul and ECW. I don't want to leave. And I'm still green as grass. Like, I don't want to leave, but I'd rather be a big fish in a small pond than, you know, us, this little minnow in this giant ocean. So I said to Paul, listen, they're calling me. And he said, I can't compete with their money. I said, I'm not asking you to. I know we don't have it. And he said, what if I gave you a raise? I said, that would be great. And he goes, okay. And I stayed. I took the raise and I stayed until we closed our doors. I never wanted to leave.
Don't you think that I'm so about loyalty? And that's one thing that I preach to, like, a lot of the younger people coming up in music and entertainment. Like, they, I'm really having a hard time with, like, the 20, early 20-somethings, 21, 22, millennial. They don't understand loyalty. They don't understand building relationships and friendships. And, you know, I look at Vince Russo, and I mean, everywhere I go, people either love him or they hate him. And same with me. And, you know, my earliest memory of Vince Russo was him asking me to do something. I'm like, hell no. Him asking me to do a watered down version of it. I'm like, no, I don't think so. Like, I just stood my ground with him, and then I stood my ground. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to have my tits fly out. I'm not going to stand there in the ring with my bra. I don't need to. I wasn't signed on for that. I'm going to do something that showcases my talent. And if other people want to do that, that's their business, but that's not going to be me. I stood my ground. I never got fired. I never lost work. If anything, my relationship with him grew, and I got into trouble because he would feature me more and more and more, and I got way too much camera time. And back then, when I look back, I would have been pissed at me too from those boys because it was, I wasn't getting bumped. It was all psychological, and it was, you know, working angles and psychology, and Vince loved that. He is a mind fucker like that. He likes minds, and I think that was 2002. I remember my cat dying that night because I was on pay-per-view, and the border was trying to get a hold of me to say, we need to have emergency surgery on your cat. I remember losing my shit. That was love of my life. And I was on the floor of Jerry Jarrett's office or something, just sobbing. And I remember, like, oh, don't cry. It's going to be, you know, like, Vince, like, he got down on his knees and he was, like, in my face. And there's a couple of other wrestlers that I remember that were down on their knees and their hands and knees, like, and wiping my tears and, like, patting me on the back. And, oh, what can we do for? Let's go to Hooters. You want to go to Hooters and get some Hooters and, you know, some Diet Pepsi or something, you know? And he was so good to me. And it's like all those years later, and, you know, we've had our in and outs, and I've even done a podcast with him where I got so hot. I'm like, I'm leaving. Goodbye. Like, and then we had a week where I called Stevie Richards and I'm like, dude, we got in this blowout live on the air, and it was really awkward. And Stevie was really cool. And just give him a minute and do you want me to talk to him? And, you know, Vince finally called, and it was so awkward because I was hot. I'm like, dude, bro, what are you doing? He kept saying, I got something I'm going to tell that's going to piss you off. And I'm like, this is live. I'm like, then don't, if it's going to piss me off, then let's not go there. Cause Vince knows my personal history. And I thought he was going to bring something up about stuff from the past that I don't know about. And he's just like, oh, you're going to get really hot. And I'm like, then let's not go there. And I think 10 times I said on the air, please don't say something live that's going to send me into a tizzy, or it's going to undo wounds from past days.
Yeah.
Let it be. And then I just said, you know what? If you've got something that's going to piss me off that bad live on the air, I shut down my computer and it just went like that. And we did talk. We had a great adult conversation. I remember people were just like, whoa, like, what just happened? I'm like, that, oh, it's a work. I'm like, oh, it's not a work.
Right.
No, like, I'm not going to know. And we had a great conversation, and he was like, I would never. And I'm like, you kept saying, and he's like, but I would never. And I'm like, I didn't know that you weren't going to bury me, Vince. And then we realized on Skype or whatever we were doing, it was Google Hangout, that there is a message board. I said, okay, now we've got, like, I've got one right now. I think I can do test. And maybe you're going to get this thing on your screen. Does it say up in the left-hand corner, right-hand corner? Do you see a little note or not?
I do not.
Okay, well, it's there for me then. And at least on Google Hangout, you could message the person. And I said, now we know, now we can do some angles. And the next time you've got something, just give me a heads up, you know? And we had a good adult conversation. We didn't throw away a friendship like so many people do these days. We didn't have ghosting back when I was growing up, when you were growing up.
Right.
Because she had to fucking run into him at church or down the way in the neighborhood or at the deli.
Yep.
There was no escaping people. And now, you know, you ghost people because they're in a different city or a different state. And it's like, that's acceptable to just no longer ever talk to anybody, to block them and to throw stuff away. And I don't come from that background. And I try to teach these kids on the up and coming that you've got to work on being a team player. Like you're saying, you've got loyalty. Paul did everything for you. You're not just going to go bail for more money. And it's like, I wish, because all that's going to happen when you do, the grass is greener for maybe 2 weeks and then they're going to let you go and you don't have a job. Always that story. It's always the story.
I had such a great relationship with Paul, you know, like people tend to bury him, but if it wasn't for Paul, no one would know who I was. He gave me that chance. You know what I mean? And yeah, I took the ball and I ran with it, but he gave me the opportunity. So I owe everything to Paul.
Who was the guy at the pawn shop?
Oh, that's Todd Gordon.
Okay.
That's Todd Gordon. Todd was there. He did a lot before Paul came in, but like once Paul came in, Todd kind of slipped out. You know what I mean? I worked very closely with Paul. Paul was the type of guy. Now, I worked for Paul and I worked for Vince McMahon, right? Paul was the type of guy that you can go out to dinner with and have a beer with or, you know, eat nachos with and bullshit with. While Vince was the type of guy that you only saw him at work. You were hell of intimidated by him. Paul listened to ideas up and down the board. Like if I had something, I could just call him. Hey, Paul, I thought of this. What do you think? That's great. Let's do it. Or no, that won't work because of this. And he did explain it. You know what I mean? He was very, very, very approachable. Whereas Vince McMahon scared the piss out of me. So
everybody.
That's just the way he carries himself. Paul was seen as one of the boys. You know what I mean? It's a good thing and a bad thing, you know, because he was the boss. But he, like I said, he gave me my opportunity. He was always there when I needed him. Always checked on me if I got hurt, if something happened, he made sure everything was taken care of. I can't say anything bad about this man. And, you know, I'm thankful for him and I'm glad that he, you know, he's killing it with WWE now. I have no regrets about working for him. So
two last questions for you. Upcoming advice for somebody wanting to get into the business. I have one word for them and that's run. What would you say?
I always tell the girls, go another way. Don't get involved with the boys. Number one.
Oh, I wish you were around to have told me that.
You live and you learn.
Freaking mistake. No athletes.
Don't date the boys. Always listen, keep your mouth shut and watch old tape. Or old YouTube video. They don't have tapes anymore. We used to put a VHS in, you know, watch it. They don't have that anymore. Study. Whether it's me or somebody else, study. Because that's what I did. I learned so much from Sherry Martel and from Woman. They were like my two go-to girls. Alundra Blaze, Medusa, she's another one. So much talent out there. And just study. That's all I can say.
If you could snap your fingers right now and have all the money that you needed to do what you needed to do, what would it be?
Take care of my family.
Really?
We're simple. Take care of my family and do bigger Disney trips. That's what I would like to do. I'm a simple person. I don't need a mansion. You know, I don't want to clean them. Who wants to clean a freaking mansion? I have enough with my house. I don't need shiny cars. I just want health, my kids to be safe, and us to be happy. That's all I pray for. That's all I want.
We will pray for that for you as well and send great vibes. Tell us about where to find you on your Patreon.
www.com/Francine Podcast.
Okay.
And then across social media, it is at ECW Diva Francine. I had to put the freaking diva in there because so many people were using my name already. And that's the only thing I could think of wrestling related. I'm not a diva, but I stuck it in there. So that's across.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. And when March 1st is your debut on the Realm Network?
I am coming to you guys on March 1st, and I am super duper excited, and got some appearances coming up as well, so you can just check my Twitter feed for that.
Please, you guys, I have so many people asking already about Francine. Please check her out. If you've got just a donation of $5 or $25, check out her Patreon. This is how we keep great wrestling legends going. You've got $25 freaking dollars. Go on there, sponsor.
Even $10.
Yeah.
You guys, whatever. It's fun.
Keep the business alive. Support Money Talks, Bullshit Walks. This is a great human being. Would not have had her on the show. We know I don't like bitches. Support. Mm-hmm. And once again, clap for Miss Francine. And thank you for taking. We had technical difficulties today.
We did. We got through it.
She hung in there for me and for you. And we are just so honored and so excited to have Miss Francine a part of the brand.
Yay.
Have a great week.
Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Goldilocks, and we are inside Goldie's Closet. And I want to ask a favor of you all, whether you watch the show or not, if you come to our band shows, what have you, it's something that you can do to support, and it costs nothing and no time at all. If you shop on a very popular online website, I would really appreciate it if you would bookmark some of the items that you are shopping for. And if you could just simply do this, go to goldienose.blogspot.com. If you go over to the right, all the way to the bottom, the About Me section, there's a link. It just says I'm an Amazon affiliate. If you click on that, it takes you inside my umbrella, and everything that you order, I can earn just some help and support to keep all of this going, to keep the band going. We've got a hefty vehicle repair. It's pretty substantial. So it would be really great if you could remember my link. We get some support. It's that simple. I love you all. Thank you for making the time to stop by and check out everything that we're doing. Mwah.